We want it to be discussion, Q&A. So as we go through this, if you have questions. Now, we don't want people preaching. They're going to preach. But if you have questions or comments, or I didn't understand quite what they did, then let's just make it relaxed and fun. Amen. Can y'all see me? You want us to move back some?
No, I'd like to move back
here. All right. We'll move back here to this stage. Huh? But, so let me start it off with a question, and you can just go wherever you want to go. And, he's told me twice that a concept that revolutionized his marriage, probably several revolutionaries, and I've not heard it from Corinthians, so it'd be interesting to get her take on it, is this concept that the Lord, you know, just spoke to you about making her your best friend. And so just go from there.
Well, first, I want to thank everybody for being here. And just some of my friends that came out and fellowship with us tonight. I invited a few of us, plus some of our members of our church. And, of course, Susan with Love Without Reason. And Francois and his wonderful wife. And Miss Reba. And, of course, we have the Pachecos back there. So these are guys that we've been just interacting and just having fellowship with, whether it be in Bible studies or ministries and things of that nature. So our circles have kind of just touched each other. So, yes, it is. And so it was just a wonderful thing to do I just felt led to invite them out and just share some things with you guys. Because when we're talking about bestie, and that's kind of what we're going to be looking at doing. Let me share some of the things that we are actually doing that the five believe is going to be amazing. I'm actually in the midst of doing training. We don't call it marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling. We call it marriage training. And the reason why we call it marriage training because it's a continuation. And so we don't just want it to just stop when you get married and all of a sudden, hello, good luck and do your best.
Hope you survive.
Right, yeah, go for it.
Come back to us when you're half dead.
Right. So what we do is we're in the middle of two right now, and they're getting ready to wind up their sessions. And we do 8 sessions per group. And so they're winding up, and so they get to go through some real amazing things. You guys enjoying it? Elam and then the Pachecos back there as well. So they're going through it with them. And the young couples, some of them just got married, and then these guys have been married a minute, but we're still taking them through this. And so the intentions is this. Once we finished training them and taking them through the training, we're actually going to go to the next phase, which is going to be mentorship. So we'll be mentoring them and at least meeting up with them at least once a month. We've been meeting with them every week, once a week, but now we're going to be meeting with them at least once a month. They're going to be going out with us and just talking and kind of just touching bases. The intentions is that I'm actually going to eventually start building a team that actually they'll start actually doing the training itself and doing the mentorship. So that's what we're trying to do, because there's a lot of people that we've run into that their marriages are just crazy and they just don't know what to do. And so Father's really helped us out, and how this ended up happening, coming to be about bestie or becoming best friends, was I had been hearing, marriage couples that was struggling and they had been married for over 50 years. So I'd been hearing about husband and wives just couldn't stand each other and they were just having too many battles and struggles, and they were living in the same house, but they just was not, they were like on different opposite pages. And so when I heard that first time and I thought about it and I was like, okay, Lord, what's going on? It kind of stuck in my spirit. But then all of a sudden I heard it again and again. And the third time I heard it was in February. And I was at a restaurant, and while I'm sitting there at the restaurant, one of the young men began to tell me about his parents, and he was like, they're going through some struggle. They just can't even stand each other. They live in the same house. She says she don't love him, and it's just all kind of craziness. And what ended up happening was, is the Holy Spirit said, the problem is that they're not best friends. And I said, what? He said, they're not best friends. He said, becoming best friends, all other things are off roads that leads back to the main road of being a best friend. And when he began to show me that, I'm like, okay, so what about my marriage? He said, that's an off road. What about my children? That's an off road. And I said, what about careers? Those are off roads. And he said, those are off roads that leads back to the main road of being a best friend. And so I sat there and I shared that with the young man, and it blessed him, but it was more of a revelation that Father was just starting to birth inside my spirit. And so I go home. And as I'm on my way home, it was in Chattanooga, I'm on my way home back to Dalton, and the Father began to talk to me about that. And he began to say, best friend. He said, you remember your best friend, right? How many of you had best friends in here? Y'all have had best friends in your lives before, right? He said, so he says, how did that relationship go? He said, it was just pretty cool, right? He said, you just hung out. No expectations from each other. Just hung. He said, you remember you would go to the store? He was like, he said, you on your way home, you're on your way over to his house, and you would pick up a drink for him. Hey man, I got you a drink. I'm on my way over. Okay, no problem. And so not only did I get one drink, I got two drinks. I didn't ask for the money when I got there, because he would do the same thing when I, you know what I'm saying? He would do the same thing for me. And so when I would get over to his house, and he had chores, right? He had chores to do, and he couldn't go out and play basketball with me. He had chores to do and his homework, and his mama already told him, you can't go nowhere. Guess what I ended up doing, because I wanted to hang with him? I ended up doing his chores while he was doing his homework. Wow. Didn't even think twice about it, right? Because I was hanging out with my best friend.
Wow.
And the Lord began to show me. He said, that's what I want you to see Corinthia as, your best friend. He said, and you begin to see her in that light. He said, it's going to, and he didn't even tell me what it was going to do, Craig. He didn't give me a clue. He just said, start seeing her as your best friend. So I got home, and when I got home, you want the mic now? So when I got home, listen, my whole life shifted. Everything shifted. It wasn't about responsibilities. It was about my best friend. I walk in the kitchen and there are dishes in the kitchen, and now I'm doing the dishes. I'm doing it for my best friend. I'm not doing this for my wife. I'm doing everything I'm doing. The picking up the clothes, no problem. It was like, what can I do to help my best friend? And when I tell you, it changed every single thing inside of my entire being. Because I wasn't doing it for my wife under the context of a husband, under the context of my responsibility. It was just, I'm hanging with my best friend. And I wanted to be around her so much. I just wanted to hang with her. I sat up under. She didn't even know what was going on. Then all of a sudden he told me, he said, start calling a bestie. And she started looking at me like, this dude is crazy. But I start calling her bestie. And I was like, bestie. And she was like, I said, you heard what I called you? She said, I heard what you said. I'm thinking this, I know she's thinking I'm losing it. But what I found out was, is what he was asking me to do was not, watch this, getting her permission to be it. I didn't ask her if I could be her best friend. I chose to make her my best friend and treated her from that place as my best friend. And when I tell you, I fell head over heels in love with this lady. I was already in love, and let me say this, our marriage was doing wonderful. So it wasn't like there was something wrong with our marriage. The marriage was amazing and it was growing, but it was like when I stepped into that arena of making her my best friend, my entire world changed. Not just changed in how I saw her, but it's in how I saw everything when I made her my best friend.
It seems strange because I already thought I was his best friend. And I'm having to play a new part that I thought I was already playing. It made me feel so dumbfounded, but then it made me see the parts that I was missing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't know you're missing something until something else happened. So it woke me up because I've always thought I was his best friend. I'm like, I'm always your best friend. Okay? But it woke me up. It made me see him different. Because sometimes I can act like mama. I can act like I'm his mama. I can act like I'm his roommate. Or I can act like I'm his sister. Or I can act other than being his best friend. But it makes me put things into categories. Perspective, so it woke me up, and like you said, our marriage have problems, but we never have arguments. We only thing I don't like sometimes is, like you said, them dishes. I cannot stand dishes and dirty clothes, and so it just made me feel like, okay, I can understand this, Lord. I can go with this. I can do this. So, yeah, it was hard to phantom at first to know that I'm just now becoming your best friend. You always been my best friend, but it's a different kind of thing. I see it so different now.
Man, that's cool. Yeah, just go on to whatever you got. I think you're on a roll, man.
So one of the things that I want to share with you guys, and I think you guys know this, especially those that are married couples in here, or at some point in time you're looking at being married. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 18 and 22, when a man finds a wife, right? And he says he finds a good thing, right? And obtains favor of the Lord. I remember years ago when the Lord began to teach me that scripture, and he began to show me something. He says, one thing I need you to understand, he said, I have a question for you. I said, what's that, Father? He said, what did I give you? Did I give you a wife or a woman? And I said, he said, well, I gave you a woman. I said, okay. He said, well, guess what? If I gave you a woman, you need to learn, you need to find the wife in the woman. You need to do the work. You're waiting on her to become the wife, but yet I told you that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. But not only he finds a good thing, but he also says the favor of the Lord is upon him. And in this process, the Lord began to show me that you've been after the good things, but you didn't get the favor. Mm-hmm. He said, when you find the wife in the woman, you get to the favor that I have for you and your marriage. Amen. In the Hebrew, it actually speaks of in the Jewish context of what that actually says. This reflects the understanding that a harmonious partnership can lead to a personal growth and spiritual fulfillment. When you allow the Father to reveal to you the gift that he has given you. But you have to do the work. Amen. That means I had to start listening to what she was saying. I had to start paying attention to what was important to her. Because at one point in time, there was a time that I was out of the marriage. I was gone. I was ready to leave. And this was when we were in Oklahoma. And I was ready to get out of there. And I decided, you know, we got in an argument one day. Let me tell you how bad this was. We got in an argument one day. And I decided I'm going to punish her. So I started running in the rain. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to run. I got so mad, I just started running. I used to run. Yes, I used to run. And I just start running in the rain, and I never forget it. I'm running, and I'm belly aching. And I'm just going at it. And I was like, she doesn't love me. And I get to this one corner, and I remember it almost felt like Holy Spirit had grabbed me by my collar. And Holy Spirit said, I heard it clear as day. Holy Spirit said, I don't want to ever hear you say that again. And I said, what? And then he said, first of all, you don't believe what you preach. I said, what? I'm like, Holy Spirit. And he was like, yeah. He said, you don't believe what you preach. I said, I don't understand, Lord. He says, I told you to love her. And he said, here's the thing that you don't believe. He says, are you so in love? Yeah. I said, yes, sir. He said, then you need to be looking for the harvest of love. Because if you sow love, you're going to reap love. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And he's like, I don't ever want to hear you say that again. Because first of all, I've given you a responsibility and not to do what I told you to do and not focus on her. And I said, okay, Dad. And I go back home. And when I got back home, I got to a place. And I said, Father, what am I doing wrong? And I kid you not, the next response I was not ready for. It was like all of heaven started rejoicing. And it was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I kid you not. This is how I felt. And it was like the whole heavens were rejoicing. And they were rejoicing because he finally asked the right question. And the next move that took place after that was he says, first of all, he says, I need to explain something to you. He said, a woman is a vault. And he says, two things can happen. He said, either she closes herself up or I close her up from you.
Wow.
And he tells me, he said, based on how you have been acting and treating her, you've disqualified yourself to my daughter. I'm hurting, man.
Wow.
I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And he's like, yeah. And I said, Father, I said, forgive me. What should I do? He said, from this point on, he says, anything she says to you that she has against you, he says, I want you to repeat it back to her and immediately pray and ask for forgiveness for me. And I said, I don't understand. He said, what you don't understand is what's important to her is important to me. And if it's important to me, it should be important to you.
Wow.
And I said, whoa, Dad. I said, what are you? He said, so every time she has a problem with you, what I want you to do is repeat exactly what she said to you back. And immediately ask me to help you to become exactly what she's needing you to be in that moment. We did that for a couple of times. Of course, Corinthia was, at that time, she was going through her own things. And, but she would come home and boy, she'd lambast us for not doing something, the dishes or whatever it was. But immediately I would apologize. I would repeat it back to her. I apologize, and I'd repent. It even got to a time that when we went to the grocery store, Walmart, Wally World, in the middle of the aisle, Susan in the middle of the aisle, she just went off on me. This time I wasn't ready, Craig. I almost went back off. But the Holy Spirit caught me, took a deep breath, turned around, repeated what she said in the middle of the aisle of Wally World. And I repented, validated what she was feeling. I heard you heard that. I validated what she was feeling. It didn't matter whether it was right or wrong. I validated what was coming out of her heart and her mouth. And when I validated it and repented it, and asked for forgiveness and prayed right there in the middle of the aisle, it began to take a total shift. Next thing happened. You want to tell that?
I don't remember all that. I don't remember.
The anniversary.
Here, why don't you go?
I don't remember it like you.
Okay. I like it better when you tell it.
Validate that. Y'all know he's the talking in the family?
She can talk, y'all.
But he knows the story better than me. Than me.
Yeah, we're wanting it on the recording too. That's
yes,
why we're
discussing it. He tells it better than me though. And he knows it better than me. Because when I was going through all that stuff, a lot of times when women go through stuff, they put stuff way back. And then it's like deja vu one day, it comes back to you. But I don't be remembering that until he say it. Oh yeah, now I remember that. But I don't remember the stories like he do. He's a great storyteller.
So I come home one day. And this is like a 2-week period. So I come home one day and it was almost like, and I came in and I got ready to open the door. And as I got ready to open the door moved. So the door opened. As I'm trying to turn it and push, the door just starts moving and opening. And it was pitch black dark in my house. And I'm like, something's wrong. And I step in, and Corinthia was behind the door. And she takes a finger, and she puts it on my mouth. And she says, don't say nothing. I don't know about y'all. But I thought I was dead. All I heard was, y'all. I start rolling in my mind anything that I'd have done that I may not have told her or said. I couldn't come up with anything. But needless to say, she took me to the bathroom. She had drawn a bath and she had a bubble bath in there and she had candles all around. And it just was a wonderful time. She had cooked the meal. It was homemade and she had made a anniversary meal for us. And she brought me to the table, put on me new clothes, had bought me brand new clothes, put on me new clothes, brought me to the table, sat me down. And what she did next blew me away. She said, hold on, I forgot something. And she went and got a Burger King hat and put it on my head.
Now, do you remember this, Corinthia?
Yeah, but y'all have to remember we was going through something. We had our daughter had been taken away from us and my whole world was falling apart. And I said, I'm losing my daughter. Well, we had a 13, well, she probably was 16 by now. She stayed in Rome while we moved to Oklahoma. Then we had this 11-year-old who was just bad. At that time, she was very, you know, not minding. And so she had got taken from us. And then we was just going through stuff. And I was like, I'm not losing everybody. So
that's good.
In my family, I never seen a good marriage. And so I'm just like, Lord, you gave me Mario. You told me Mario was going to be my husband. And all this stuff is happening. But I know that this got to work out for our good. So he gave me all this stuff to do, and I was doing it. Even though we was going through the worst part of our lives, I thought we really was going to not be a family anymore. So I started doing everything God told me to do, and that's what was happening. I did everything he told me to do, and it didn't make sense, but it did make sense.
What she didn't know 2 weeks prior to that, before all this had started happening, before I got mad and ran off and wanted to punish her and run in the rain, and before all that happened, I had heard I don't know if you're familiar, Ed Cole.
Oh yeah, I heard Maximize Manhood.
Oh man, so I was listening. To
Great book if you hadn't read it.
I was listening to Ed Cole on a live program. And it was on the radio, and he was He was at a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I couldn't make it to the conference that day, but he made a statement that says, how many of you in here are the head of your house? And of course, I'm at home and I'm raising my hand on the it's on the radio, like you can see me. Yeah, me, Ed. but needless to say, then he said, now I know most of you here probably raise your hand, or even those that are listening by TV or radio probably raise your hand too. And he says, but how many of you are the king of your home? And I begin to cry, and I begin to say, Dad, I would love to be that to my family. I would love to be that. And the king is a provider, not just in one area, but in all areas. And so I was just desiring to be that. And for her to come and bring that Burger King hat, and she didn't even know.
Wow.
She didn't even know that I had prayed that prayer. And so our marriage began to, after that, our marriage just began to take a whole nother turn. And before you knew it, it was like, we were on our way back to Georgia, and after we, let me say this, one of my darkest days during that time that my daughter was taken from us, one of my darkest days, the Lord used Corinthia. I was struggling with my daughter not being there. I was struggling with, I even had conversation with the Lord and asking the Lord, why would you even bring me to this family to destroy them? I came and she had, when I married Corinthia, she had two daughters. And I'm like, I'm hurting them. Well, I'm not helping them, Lord. What in the world is this? I know you showed me that she was my wife, even at 16 years old. But I needed to know why. Why am I here? And I was trying to find an exit strategy. I was really trying to find a way, any excuse I could, to get away from them, because it was like I was destroying them and destroying their family. I'd rather her go back to Georgia with her daughter than us to go through what we were going through. Well, in that process, and I'm just tough. I'm just having it rough. I come home one night from work, and I get ready to sit on the couch. As I sit on the couch, there's this envelope. And in this envelope, it says, it's a card in it. And then there's a letter that says, I want to thank you for coming into our lives. We really needed you. It may not look like that now because of all that we're going through, but I just need you to know God sent you to us and we needed you so much. Thank you for obeying God. And that day, Corinthia became my hero. I don't know if I'm correct in saying what I'm about to say. So all you may be judging, I'm probably going to be wrong. But I literally live my life to honor her because of that day. It's almost like she saved my life. And so I'm indebted to her for the rest of my life. In my heart because of that. And I'm just so honored that when things get hard, I remember that. When things get complicated, I remember that. And it's just been such a great honor. So I'll say it like this. This is how I can explain it today. Imagine you are a plane. You're an airplane. And all of a sudden, you as the plane start malfunctioning while you're in the air. Here's a question that I have for you. Who is your safe place to land? Who would be the safe place for you to land? Then I want to swap. I want to flip it. Imagine someone you love. And they're the plane. And they start malfunctioning. Are you that safe place for them to land? I know it's a challenge. But this is why Father wants to heal us. He said he came to set the captives free. Amen. And he wants us healed. Amen. And we can heal one another. That love that God, and Craig said it earlier, that love, the love of God is enough. He is enough for you. You may not recognize that, but that love that's inside of you is enough. I've told many men in their marriages that come to me with confusion and frustration, and I would tell them, listen to me, I am telling you the love that God has placed inside of you for your wife is enough. But you don't understand. I know it. I get it. I was at Home Depot 2 weeks ago, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine who, when we met him in Oklahoma, but now he's a pastor in Arizona, and he was telling this church, he said, I called Mario up from Georgia one day. And he says, I called him up and I told him, I'm having problems with my wife. And I just went off for about 30 minutes about all that's going wrong with my marriage. And then he has the nerve to ask me, what are you doing wrong? He has the nerve to ask me, what are you not doing that you should be doing? And he said, that day, I was so angry with him. But because he challenged me and he starts asking me, are you dating her? Are you taking her out on a date? You used to date her before you got with her. Are you still dating her on a weekly basis? Are you doing the small things that she's asking you? Are you listening to her? And he said, because you did that, he said, it changed my whole trajectory and my outlook of my marriage. And he said, I just want to thank you for that. But I share these things with you just to encourage you. The Father, when I was back there praying, the Father says, I said, Father, what is it that you would really want to say? And he wants you to have a clear picture, his view of your marriage. Is what he wants you to have. He doesn't want it to be so far out there that you can't see a good marriage and see things working out for you. He wants you to know that the marriage that he has can be such a blessing. Amen. He wants to bless you in every aspect of your life, even in the marriage. That we're having fun. Now, we're cracking jokes, having fun. I'm telling you, it is cool to hang around Corinthia. And she is amazing. She's learning. She's still learning. The day she asked me, who was she being? I said, you being my mama. You're not being bestie. But she learns to go back to just being bestie, right? And she's working on learning it. I'm working on learning, trying to be, you know, being bestie to her. And this has just been a whole new journey for us all.
You told me one time, I'm not going to get this exactly right, that for you to love Corinthia, of course, I don't talk to her. I'm sure she's got great advice, but it's just the way it is. Just talking to you. That it helped to know how to receive love from the Father. Do you remember that? Just talk about that. Just, you know, 2 or 3 minutes or whatever was on your mind about that. That if we just try to do it on our own, it runs dry too fast. The well, you hit sand too fast.
Absolutely. So, when the Lord began to teach me about this, he was teaching me about the woman who was caught in adultery. And he began to show me that when she was caught in adultery, and he began to just remind me in the thinking process of what she went through, what had gone on, her being accused. Of course, we know the story. Hopefully, most of you out in here know the story. She got up. Jesus was writing on the ground and said, "You have no sin, cast the first stone," so forth. She gets up. He gets up. He asks her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" Right? And then she says nothing. Then he asks her a question. He says, or makes a statement and says, "Go and sin no more." The Lord began to ask me a question. He said, "Did he mean that?" I said, "Well, I don't understand." He says, "Did he mean go and sin no more? In Jesus' mind, did he believe that she could go and sin no more if he told her that?" I said, "Yes." He said, what about the man that was the malefactor that was on the a cross? "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Did he mean that? I said, "Yes, sir, he did. He did." He said, "So let me ask you this next question." He said, "So did you remember?" And he's just talking to me like this. "Do you remember the woman who with the issue of blood?" And he said, "Be thou made whole." He said, I said healing, but then he said, "I said be thou made whole." He said, "Do you believe that Jesus meant that very statement, 'Woman, be thou made whole'?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So when Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, and she admit and she did not deny that she was not in that situation, but yet he spoke to her, 'Go and sin no more.' In order for her to do that, there was three things that has to happen for her. She had to accept his love. She has to accept his acceptance and accept his forgiveness for that to actually happen in her life." And he said, "One of the things that I need you to understand, before you can love anyone, you first need to receive my love that will enable you to love one another." Jesus says it like this. He tells his disciples, in 13, John 13, "I'm giving you a new command." And that new command is to love one another, right? "As I have deeply loved you." Wow. And then Jesus says in John 15, he tells them, "That same love that my Father has loved me with, I am now loving you. Love one another deeply." And I begin to see that what the Father was showing me was, is, "Mario, I don't need you to love Corinthia through your human nature kind of love. I need you to love Corinthia with the love that I have provided for you." It's so much better than trying to give her your love that could have all kinds of hooks and contingency plans with it.
Wow. You know, one thing I see here that's powerful, that you've given out quite a few principles, ways to live. But they've also been married with hearing his prophetic voice. You know, for you, you were running in the rain. I'm not sure how that would punish her, but that's another story. But you're out there running in the rain. And then the Lord speaks to you. And then her, it's only God to go out and get a Burger King crown. And that has to be the Lord. But that tied in with your prayer from 2 weeks earlier. And so there's this, there's principles, but it sounds like your success is really pressing into the Holy Spirit and asking him what to go ahead.
Yeah. So we're at 32 years of marriage come December the 24th. She's always cute.
Day before Christmas. Can't forget that one.
No, I did it on purpose, brother. I'm not dummy.
I mean, that's been sounds like a big key.
Yeah. Well, see, it goes further.
The prophetic helps you figure out how to implement the principles.
Absolutely. It goes further into our coming together, actually, because most of you don't know our story. You may have heard me say the Lord told me at 16 that she was my wife. Yeah. It was actually 8.
8 years old?
8 years old. First time I heard God's voice was when I walked into a church. First time ever walking into a church and God spoke to me at 6.
Wow.
Then at 8, we were playing. My mom wanted to go meet a friend at a park, and we were at a park playing, and she was there playing. And I'm on my way home from playing at the, from the playground, and the father speaks to me and says, "Did you enjoy that?" And I said, "Yeah, I really enjoyed that." And he says, "Well, you were playing with your wife."
Man, I don't even interested in girls at 8 years old.
First of all, I didn't know what a wife was. At 8, I didn't even know what's a wife, mama? So I didn't know what a wife was. And then later on, now that's 8. At 16, me and my friends were playing basketball out in the backyard. And as we were playing basketball, one of the guys said, "Oh, my God, I forgot I got a date." And he jumps his fence, which he lived next door. He jumps his fence, runs in the house to get dressed for his date. Well, we were still playing basketball back there. And then all of a sudden we heard a horn blow, bum, bum, bum. And as the horn blew, all the guys, every one of them, jumped the fence to run to see who he was dating.
Oh, of course.
Guess what? I'm the only one back there standing with the basketball. And I'm like, I can't go. And I'm wondering, why in the world can't I go? And I knew in my spirit I could not go. I could not go around there to see who it was. And when they drove off, she blew a horn, bop, bop, bop. And the Lord says, "He's dating your wife."
That's a rough one.
22. I'm 22 years old now. Or 20 years old. I'm getting ready to go into the military. I come home, and my brother was, we were staying with my stepdad, and my brother was sitting in the day room. We had a day room, and it had those French doors, and it was open, and he was sitting, and I came in, and there was this young girl that was sitting on the bed with him, and they were just sitting there talking, and I walked past them, I spoke, and I walked past them, I walked to the foyer area of our apartment, and I peeped back around and I motioned to him to come here. He came to me, and when he came to me, I said, "Who is that?" And he was like, he told me who she was, and I said, "She's got a sister." He said, "Yeah." And when he said yes, I said, "Her sister's my wife." I said, "Did you hear that?" He's like, "Yeah, I heard that." He goes away. So now I'm in the military. I get this letter, and this letter says I got from my sister, and says I have a next door neighbor, and I told her about you, and I believe you're gonna like her. At the time in the military, I don't know if we have the military guys in here, but when you was it on the water, all you wanted was the smelly letters. Send in the smelling letters. Look what I got. We just wanted the letter. We didn't care who it was from. Mama, send me a letter and put your
perfume on it.
Put your perfume on it. It was bragging rights. Smelling letter. And so I told my sister, I said, "Tell her to send me some letters," because it was like, I don't know who she is. I don't care. Just tell her to send me a letter.
Yeah.
And put some perfume on it. So next thing you know, of course, I didn't get any letters from her and so forth. And so I come home, and as I came home, my sister says, there was this little bitty girl. And that's a whole nother story in itself. There was this little bitty girl in my mom's apartment. And as she's standing there, and I was like, "Little girl, who is your mother?" She was pretty. And they was like, oh, let me show you who she is. She's my best friend. That's what my mom said. That's my best friend. And so she goes over and gets the lady next door and comes back, and it was Corinthia.
Wow. Wow.
I had my partner, one of my friends, that was at the basketball court. At the house that when the basketball game was going on. He was there that day. He came to see me. And we were standing out there, and Corinthia walks out the door, and I said, "Man, you know who that is?" And he was like, "Yeah, that's the girl that the other so-and-so used to date when we were young." I'm like, "What?" And he was like, "Yes, So we end up dating. We end up getting together and dating. And then finally everything just started going great. I knew she was my wife 3 weeks in. 3 weeks into it, it was just like...
You knew it since 8 years
yes.
old, man.
I knew it was... I just couldn't... The person that she was, there was no way... The love that she was giving me, it was just so much that I'd never received from a woman before that was just pure.
And I didn't even want you. And I didn't want him. At all.
Tell him when you wanted him.
I did not want him.
Wow.
But.
That's humbling, isn't it, Mario?
I'll take my lunch, Lord.
That's why he gave you a prophetic word at 8.
Know,
just
right?
Hang in there, baby.
Hang in there, baby.
It'll work.
I know she ain't going to want you now.
But, because we had talked on the phone, and he, you know, and he used to come to my house. I used to work third shift. He used to come to my house. He used to use my phone. And then he'd be getting ready to go to a recruit. And I said, can I iron your clothes? Can I fix you some breakfast? I don't even know him, but I don't even like him. And he would be talking to me. He'd be talking to me. And I'm like, Lord, I don't like him like that. Even though his sister and they want me to get together, I got a boyfriend. I thought I did. But then I saw him with another woman.
Oh, wow.
And then the light bulb came on. She with my man. But I don't like him. I don't like him, but... He had called me that night. I saw him. I said, well, yeah, I saw you today. And I said, you was with Anita?
She still remember the name, y'all.
And he said, can I come up? I said, yeah, you can come up because I got company, but he don't mean nothing. He's just a friend, you know, he's just a friend. But you can still come over.
We weren't saved, y'all.
No, we was not saved. I said, you can still come over. Just a friend over. He sleep on my bed. So I kissed him, and I promise y'all, I heard God say, this is your husband. And I felt so safe and so secure, like I was so protected. I said, Lord, okay, all right. And I left it at that. And we just talked to each other. We, like, went on dates with my middle girl. And we got to know each other. And then he went back to Florida, to the military. And then he called me. He looked for me everywhere because I was hanging with his mama. And he finally found me, and he asked me to marry him. I think it was like 2 weeks later. And I said, yeah. I like it. I'm going to marry you.
She didn't want to see me with another one.
I don't think that's what it was. I just know in my heart that, and I really didn't want to get married because I had just got a divorce from being in an abusive marriage. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to marry nobody. But if I get married, he can't smoke, he can't drink, he can't curse. I don't care if he'll preach. Now go figure. He gave me all that. So he didn't tell me it was going to be good in the midst of, but he gave me all that. And so, yeah, that's what it was.
So, you know, the scripture says greet each other with a holy kiss because you get prophetic words when you do. When he kissed her, she heard from God. Well, it's a new...
Amen.
We could get some interesting church services going right now,
buddy. Amen, and amen. So if you don't hear prophetic voices, I mean.
That's a great story, man.
Yes, it's been extraordinary. And the Lord has just been faithful to us. And like I said, we're in this new venture now. Each year, let me say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me say this. Marriage is, if you've been married and you're looking at where you are, even there at 39, thank God for that. Amen. Let's give that a hand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So one day, it's 17 years of marriage, I was at a home in Calhoun, Georgia. And this is funny. There was a gentleman there. His name was Larry. I'm not going to say his last name, but I was working for a company doing satellite. And as I was fixing his television and everything, he told me in advance his wife was, you know, dealing with a few things. She's kind of sick, and it was more like bipolar, it's the sickness he was saying. And so so I remember asking them, how long have y'all been married? And he tells me 47 years. He was in another room. Now, I'm at 17 years of marriage at that time. And he tells me, we've been married for 47 years. He said it exciting, too. 47 years. And she said, and they ain't been good, all that good either.
She was in the bipolar mood.
I don't know what she was. But the next thing he said sent me to another world. And he said, and that's okay. Right then and there, the Father spoke to me, and this is what I want to release over you. Just because you're going through something in your marriage doesn't mean something's wrong with the marriage.
Wow, that's good.
This is what he released over me. Amen? So wherever you are in your walk, in your marriage, it can get better. Amen? And that's what's happening with ours. Our marriage generally goes on cycles. Notice, pay attention to the marriage and the growth of it. It can go in cycles, okay? And you know the pattern of the marriage. Know when things are when you need to back up and not necessarily be so aggressive in certain areas, or know when you need to just be in prayer. We went through a season where we had to pray. And so every day we would pray 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, morning and night. We'd pray it in the morning with our daughter, and we'd pray it at night with our daughter. And it was good because we all had a part to play. One would read and one would pray, or and vice versa. So we kept going back and forth. And so we had that season for our life. Then, two years ago, we went through another season, and the Father told us that we were not to do picks anymore. You know, goodbye. We couldn't do that no more. We had to lock lips.
And that's where you hear God, right?
Oh, yeah, ain't getting gross. Yeah. Don't gross nobody. But we had to really kiss. And the Father, and it was for a whole year. We literally had to do that for a whole year. So there are seasons and things that Father wants to take your marriage to the next level. Amen. And he can actually do those things if we're, again, as we're saying, listening to Holy Spirit, letting Holy Spirit be our guide.
Hold on, let me get this microphone up here. And we're doing this just for the recording. Plus, if you have a quiet voice, everybody can hear you.
What is the difference between a man of the house and a king of the house? Because you kind of just gloss over that.
That's a very good question.
That is a good question.
Well, what he was saying, the man of the house, you know, someone who is in the house and he's taking care of the family and things of that nature. Well, a king, it's not only just he's honored, okay? He's not just someone who's just taking care of him, but he's taking care of it in such a way that his entire family honors him. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So his king is always getting honored. King is always being blessed. So his family is blessing him because he's stepped into that role of being the king of the home. Is that good for you? Is that good?
Anybody else?
Just if you can give a couple more examples when about receiving love from the Father and not just going off of your own source.
Yeah, and I think that goes, Diego, that goes with having an intimate relationship with Father. So one of the things, one of the first lessons or first sessions that we have in our training is I want to know what's the purpose of a marriage. I want to know what's the purpose of a marriage. And of course, we debunk some of the things that marriage is supposed to look like and supposed to be about. And so we really just hammer in on the marriage needs to be about oneness. But the Lord began to show me that in order to become one, it can't be his view of God and her view of God. Your view and God's view, his view and God's view, that can't be. They end up having to become God's view and God's view, and then you can become one. And he showed me that. He said, because what happens is that's through the intimate relationship. When God becomes the central source of all that you are supposed to be living through that relationship, then the other relationships can become healthy. If my relationship with Father is not right, then my relationship with my wife can also be off as well. Amen? Does that help you, brother? All
right. Anybody else?
So let me say this. So I would emphasize finding that opportunity of making sure your relationship with Father is getting better and better and better. Amen.
I think the more you fall in love with God, and then you fall in love with yourself, you learn how to treat people around you because you don't want to hurt them. So falling in love with God, falling in love with yourself, teaches you how to love everyone around you.
And I'm glad you said that. Thank you, sweetheart. One of the things that I would add that I struggled with as a man of God, trying to push her to fall in love with God. I'm in love with God, and I wanted her to experience what I'm experiencing, and she wasn't ready. And I'm pushing her and pushing her and pushing her to fall in love with God. And she had her own pace. But the Father taught me to get out the way. Get out of her way. That's my daughter, not yours. I know how to love her because I created her. Let me love her. I need you to just keep on loving me and and falling in love with me. And it was like the more I fell in love with God, she started falling in love with me. I'm not joking, am I wrong? It was like I started falling in love with God even more, and she started falling in love with God, and she started falling in love with even me even more. So it was just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. But let me add this. It took me, Diego, it took me 7 years into my marriage before I saw my wife. 7 years, because I was so caught up on myself that I couldn't see her. But the moment I start falling in love with God, I start falling in love with everything that he had blessed me with. And when I started falling in love with her, it was like brother man was smitten. I saw her for the first time because I was able to see me the way he saw me. Amen. I didn't see myself out of the pain of my past. I saw myself being healed because of his love for me. And Jeremiah 29:11 became the very central scripture that just transformed everything inside of my world. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Father's view of me transformed everything inside of me that helped me to see everybody in the right way.
Does she have a question? Sorry. Oh, okay.
You can tell her she can hold up the church issue.
I guess I want to ask, like, what do you define as honor? And then to follow that, are the parents also supposed to honor the children? And is the husband also supposed to honor the wife? Or is it just the husband and children honor the husband? The wife and children honor the husband.
You might have to say that again.
Okay.
Say it again.
So I'm asking about the specific word honor, because in the Bible it says that the woman be devoted to your husband, which I equate to like honor your husband.
You love and respect him.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking, with the definition of honor, does that go like parents honor the children and then wife honor the husband and husband honor the wife, or is that just child and wife honor the husband?
Everybody got to honor each other. As you honor your husband, he'll honor you and the children. The children will honor them. And we've seen this work so crazily in our family, where at first my kids was not used to Mario. They wanted him gone because they think he took their mother. But what they didn't know, that us being together made us better. Even though we came together as a mess, we were both messed up. But when we came together, with God, it made us better. And now, because when we got together, my kids was 11 and 4. And then we got another daughter, which she's 28 now. But she came she came in 1996. And it just made us complete. And they couldn't see the thing that God was doing in our lives. All they kept seeing is, all y'all do is go to church, love the Lord. Our 36-year-old, she's like, this ain't no good marriage. Who want to be married like this? So she's married now. All the kids are married now. Baby girl just got married on November 15th. And she said she wouldn't have never got married if she'd never seen a good marriage. So she just said that like 2 or 3 days ago. Yeah. So sometimes we don't see what God is making. We don't see what he's doing. But he is working it out. He put you there. Sometimes you're like, I used to say, I don't want to do this. Oh, I don't want to do this, Lord. But I didn't know what God was doing. I just had to faithfully do everything that he was telling me to do, be everything he was telling me to be, get in my word, pray, because I ain't never seen this. And I wanted my kids to see a good marriage. I want my grandkids to see a good marriage. I want my nieces and nephews to see a good marriage. And so it's work. You have to work at it. Like, we have to work at being good to each other. But without God, we can't be good to each other.
But I encourage you, those of you, and most of the time you hear the statement of it takes two to tango. You hear the concept of both trying to do it and then it'll work. And if the other person ain't, and listen, unless God tells you different, just do what he told you to do. I need that to be clear, okay? Just do whatever he told you to do in honoring your spouse. Amen. That love that he has given you is enough. I believe that the love that God has given you for your spouse will unlock things inside of them that they didn't even know existed. Amen. And we see that even now. Corinthia was just saying she is loving what we're able to do now. Talk things through that we have never been able to talk things through before. Have real conversations. Amen. We were on our way to pick up our granddaughter this week, right? And we just on our way we were having date night because we date every Friday night, okay? We date every Friday, and on our way there we were doing our date night questions. We have date night questions, y'all. And so those date night questions, we just would start going back over them again. And she would ask me questions. I would ask her questions. And we're just reconnecting even in those small things. I want to encourage you with that, guys. The Father has placed inside of you the right things to bless the gift that He has blessed you with.
Well, why don't you close us out in prayer? And then if they're able to stay, just gather around these tables, quiz them, ask them questions. And y'all are welcome to stay here as long as you want. Well, as long as somebody's here to lock up. But, you know, it's the night's still early. But just close this out in prayer, one of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, as we come before you, we know that the greatest marriage is us being your chosen. You chose us. You chose us. And you know exactly who we are. And we honor you for that, Lord. And we exalt you and magnify your name, Lord God. And Lord, each one that is in here today, I pray, Father, that something was said that was sparked, Lord God, a great desire in them to have a relationship, healthy relationships with the gifts that you have blessed them with. Whether it be the people that are their spouses or whether it be friends or in churches, Father God, whether it be them taking their place in the body of Christ, Lord God, allow them to pursue healthy relationships. And Lord, we know what that looks like. It begins with a healthy relationship with you. Seeing you from the right place. Seeing you the way you want to be seen as a loving, tender, amazing Father. Thank you, Yahweh. Have your way in every life that is here tonight. We bless you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.